Thank you, church family, for singing. It's a joy to be together. Today we are having our fifth message in our Holy Spirit series. Last week we looked at the broad work of the Holy Spirit. We have the Spirit of Christ in us. He dwells in us. And that Spirit of Christ in us looks like something. It manifests in many different ways. And the two kind of categories we looked at last week are the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. And over the next few weeks, we're going to look at three specific gifts that are often seen as unusual, or many people don't talk about them, or if they do talk about them, they maybe overemphasize them. So we want to give some biblical grounding about the gift of prophecy, New Testament prophecy, the gift of tongues, that'll be next week, and then we'll have Christopher's ordination, and then after that will be the gifts of healings. So that's what's happening over the next 3 to 4 weeks, and today we are diving into considering what is New Testament prophecy. Now, when I say New Testament prophecy, there's probably all sorts of stuff coming to people's minds. We're not talking about like end times prophecy, like the world's going to end on May 21st, 2000, whatever. Like that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about being biblically grounded in what the Bible says about prophecy. Now, last week we saw that the gifts of the Spirit are, quote, for the manifestation, this is 1 Corinthians 12, manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. It's for the edification and upbuilding of the church, and that includes this gift. So turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. If you're going to study the gifts of the Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12 through 14 are going to be the chapters you need to dive into. This is where Paul says, now concerning spiritual gifts. He's addressing the Corinthian church on how do you handle this in the corporate gathering, in the worship gathering? How do you consider the different gifts being used? And he's bringing some correction. So 1 Corinthians chapter 14, he starts talking about prophecy and tongues. This is God's word, 1 Corinthians 14, starting at verse 1. Pursue love and earnestly desire the gifts of the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God. For no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. The one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. Now I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets so that the church may be built up. This is God's word. For some of us, these five verses stir questions and concerns. You read words like prophecy and tongues, and you're just like, oh no, what is about to happen? Let me assure you, we are going to be speaking through God's word today. We're going to let God's word define, Lord willing, everything we do and say. So let's answer a few questions that may be stirring. The first question is this: does the gift of prophecy even exist today? Or has it ceased? Second question is, if the gift does exist, should I seek it? Like, should I seek to use the gift? And third, if it does exist and we should seek it, how does this thing work? So first question, has prophecy ceased? When I was going through seminary, I was what I would call a cessationist. I did not believe that there were certain gifts that still existed today, such as modern day prophecy. My desire was for Scripture to be authoritative and not have anything possibly compete with it or compromise it. So I think there's a good desire in many who are in the cessationist camp that they want to protect Scripture's authority. That's a very good thing. That's a good instinct. The only problem is Scripture speaks about the gift of prophecy. So in order to guard and protect and think through Scripture, we've got to be scriptural and talk through things like 1 Corinthians 14:1, pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. So there's a problem if you're trying to defend Scripture and then defending Scripture, you're forgetting Scripture or ignoring Scripture. So does it exist or has it ceased? For those who hold the cessationist view, there usually are two arguments. The first is that miraculous gifts like prophecy and tongues, other revelatory gifts have ended when the scriptural canon, when the Bible was completed. And that those gifts were needed back then, but now they are needed no longer. That's the first argument. Second argument some use is that when the last apostle, John, died, that the gifts ended and ceased at that point. Oftentimes, 1 Corinthians 13, 8 through 10 is the scripture used to defend the ceasing of this gift today. 1 Corinthians 13, 8 through 10 says, "Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away." This argument hinges on the idea of the perfect. What does the perfect mean? If the perfect means, as some cessationist arguments would say, that the perfect means the canon being finished, the Bible being complete, if that's what it means, then we can say prophecy and tongues no longer exist today. The only problem is, in Scripture, when the perfect is ever being used, it's talking about the second coming of Christ. So we don't want to all of a sudden change the meaning of a term to fit our argument. We need to say what Scripture says and let Scripture interpret itself. So one of the things we want to think about is if we're looking, this is a biblical interpretation, a good word, kids, you can use for your, you know, impress your friends, is hermeneutics. Say that with me, hermeneutics. So we want Scripture to interpret Scripture. So we want to ask the question of 1 Corinthians, is there ever a place in this same letter that Paul's talking where he links spiritual gifts with Christ's return? Answer, yes. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 7, Paul links spiritual gifts to Christ's second coming, and he says that God's grace had enriched the Corinthians in speech and knowledge, quote, this will be on the screen, so that you are not lacking any spiritual gift, okay, spiritual gift, as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus, who will sustain you to the end. So you have spiritual gifts, and Paul's saying spiritual gifts, we're using these as we're waiting for the end, for the perfect to come. Spiritual gifts are for this age. Jesus said, "I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And he physically leaves, and the Spirit comes. And Jesus imparts gifts for the upbuilding of his church. So hear me clearly, there is no scriptural evidence that any of these gifts ever ceased. That's really important. There's no scriptural evidence that any of these gifts have ever ceased. There simply isn't a time in church history when people obeyed 1 Corinthians 14:1 one minute, and then the Bible was complete, or John died, or whatever. Then the next minute, you don't have to obey that. There isn't a time in church history that that happens. My observation is that most who try to avoid the gift of prophecy have seen abuses of it. They want a guard of abuses. They've seen people change their voices as they want to give a prophetic word. "Thus saith the Lord." And they're like, whoa, something's off right now. Making proclamations that are either against Scripture or just unwise. You know, that single guy who comes to that girl, "Well, God told me that you're going to marry me." And the girl's like, "Well, God didn't tell me." That's a wrong use of saying what God says and what God doesn't say. I understand the temptation to want to throw out the gift because of the abuses of the gift. That is a huge temptation. Throw it out because we've seen abuses. Here's the problem, though. 1 Corinthians teaches us something. Paul is aware the Corinthians were horrible with the gifts. You read through 1 Corinthians this afternoon. They abused the gifts. They were messing up on the gifts. That's what Paul's addressing in 1 Corinthians. They're messing up here. But what Paul does is not, hey, we're going to put the gifts over here on the shelf for a while. We're going to correct some doctrine. Then we'll slowly implement gifts again. No, what he says in 1 Corinthians 14, guys who are abusing this, guys who are messing up, earnestly desire the gifts. Especially that you may prophesy. That goes against some of our instincts when we think about abuses of the gift. But we want to be thoroughly biblical. We want to have biblical instincts. Earnestly desire. So I'm spending a lot of time on answering the question, has prophecy ceased? Because if we're not convinced that this gift is for today, we are not going to earnestly seek it or desire it. Let me encourage you, if you are in the camp I used to be in, or you're kind of struggling with this, spend time in God's Word. Spend time reading and considering and praying over 1 Corinthians 12 and 13 and 14. God, what does your Word say? I don't want my experience to dictate what God's Word says. I want God's Word to inform any experience I have, because God's Word has the authority. And then I would encourage you, if you have godly theologians you already trust in certain areas of life, consider what they say about this. Guys like Wayne Grudem, John Piper, D.A. Carson, Matt Chandler, Francis Chan, those are guys who are helpful. You may trust them in some other areas of theology. Well, I'd consider what they say in this area as well. Wrestle, friends, wrestle. Let's not be flabby, weak Christians. Let's wrestle. Let's do the hard work. So has this gift ceased? I don't believe it has. Question number two, should we desire the gift of prophecy today? I think 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1 gives us a simple yes. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Paul has just come out of an entire chapter in chapter 13 talking about love. Like, that is the love chapter that's often preached at weddings, which is not actually wise because it's talking about spiritual gifts. So no problem if that was at your wedding, though. But it's talking about love, but it's in the context of spiritual gifts. It's the point of that text. And then he says, he transitions to chapter 14, says, pursue love. As you use these gifts, they should be done for the loving God and loving your neighbor kind of thing, which is called the greatest commandment. We use gifts as we love God and we love others. It says pursue love, but then it says earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. So this starts evoking some great questions for us. Like, as we drove here today, or we maybe spent time in God's Word this morning, or we're in the shower or whatever, were we thinking about this? I'm getting ready to gather with my church family. I'm not just a consumer. I come because God's given me gifts, and I've come to stir others up. I'm coming to earnestly desire the gifts, Lord, that you've given, not for me, not to point to me, but I've got gifts to help others. We saw this last week, for the common good, for the edification, for the upbuilding. Is it a category for us, as we're gathering with our small group, or we're gathering on Sunday, that we're gathering to say, how can I help? Lord, use me. Is that weeping with those who are weeping? Cool, I'll pray over there. Is that encouraging someone here? Cool, over here. Is that mom who's struggling? I can just take their baby. Cool, I'll help that. Like, how can I serve in whatever way God wants me to serve? How can I use the gifts for the common good? Friends, we all know what it means to earnestly desire. If you come over to the Seaver home and you start making chocolate chip cookies, you will have vultures around the kitchen. I'm the biggest one. Hovering at, not even, the cookies don't even get in the oven. So it's not even really cookies. It's cookie dough. And I've gotten slapped on the hand lots of times. Numerous times. Every time. We know what it's like to earnestly desire. So we know that's not a hard concept to think about whatever it is in life. But then we come to 1 Corinthians 14, it's like, oh, well, what? I wonder what Paul means there. Huh? What does he mean that I'm supposed to earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that I would prophesy? Are we earnestly desiring that? Over the years of thinking through this, praying through this, teaching it, studying it, I feel like God has confirmed through others and just praying that God's given me a gift of prophecy. But here's what kind of happened as I desired to be more biblical here. And it was this. I remember being a cessationist pastor and having feelings, having senses, having burdens. And I would just use those kind of terms. Hey, I was praying for you this morning. I just feel like God put on my heart, da-da-da-da-da. Or I had this burden, but I did not want to say prophecy. I did not want to use that term. That term scared me. That's for Elijah and like Isaiah. That's those guys. But I got a burden. I got a sense. But the Bible uses the term in the New Testament for prophecy. And what happens is as we start using New Testament language to define this gift, all of a sudden you realize it's a gift that you're called to use. Like if you've been given this gift, you are to steward it. Because it's one of God's gifts of his varied grace, how he distributes gifts in his church. We are called to use what God has given us. Now, I don't assume everybody will have the gift of prophecy. I think scripture in the end of 1 Corinthians 12 says there will be different gifts of different people. We're not all going to have the same gifts. But if you have it, you're called to use it. If you have the gift of hospitality, you are called to use it. God stirs the gifts for his glory and our good. Look at verse 3. It says, on the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their, here's some good categories to think about with the gift of prophecy, for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. Here's a definition from John Piper about New Testament prophecy. It is spirit-empowered, or spirit-prompted? I read the wrong word. Spirit-prompted, revelation-rooted, fallible speech. Spirit-prompted. The Spirit is the one who stirs this. This isn't you, it's the Spirit prompting. But it's revelation-rooted. The Bible is the authority here, not you, not your sense. It is God's word, but then it's fallible. We'll talk about this more in a second, where we would say that Old Testament prophecy is infallible, New Testament prophecy is fallible. We'll talk about the judging of prophecy and stuff that's supposed to happen in a second. But I would add one more part to Piper, which is a little scary to do because he's way smarter than me, is what's the purpose of it? It's the upbuilding and encouragement and consolation of the church. I heard one person say it's for the building up, stirring up, and cheering up of God's people. Just consider that. God has kindly given this gift to build up his church, to care for his church, for God to show his heart to his church. When I was in Sovereign Grace Pastors College, there was a guy who didn't know me. He was praying for me. He felt like he had a prophetic sense for me. And I was like, okay, cool. Makes me a little nervous. Breathe in. Okay, so he had this sense for me, and the sense was that I liked my life nice and tidy. True. Okay, but that God was going to, that he kind of had this picture of a messy desk, and that in the coming months, life was going to get messy. At that moment, that was not encouraging. That was not consoling. Like it was like, so we've got to be careful when we hear prophecy, be like, that's not encouraging. Like that must be not from the Lord. But I remember thinking on it, praying about it. I didn't like say, no, I don't think that's for me. I was just like, okay, I'll just keep that one tucked away. Over the next 12 months, we had a failed adoption. Our oldest child had major surgery on her kidneys. We had a miscarriage, then another miscarriage, then another failed adoption, And then our second daughter had to have surgery. And I remember being with my wife, just talking, grieving, crying. And I think she brought up, or we brought up somehow, do you remember the messy desk? Like, life feels really messy right now. Like, it just feels messy. What is going on, Lord? And remembering, like, the Lord already knew. The Lord already kindly just brought somebody like, hey, God's still in control. God's still sovereign. You like your tidy, nice life? It got messy, but I'm here. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I will never leave you or forsake you, is what God's word says. I felt the presence of the Lord, that He cares for me, even in the midst of miscarriages and failed adoptions and surgeries and vulnerability and weakness and sadness. God is with us. That's part of what modern day prophecy does, is it shows, it reminds God's people, God is with you. He cares. He knows. This isn't some distant 2,000 year ago Jesus. This is an ever-present help in times of need. That's our Jesus. That's how this gift is used. And Paul encourages people to use it. Verse 5, now I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. Verse 6, he calls this beneficial. 1 Corinthians 14:12, it says, so you yourselves, since you are eager for the manifestation of the Spirit, strive to excel in building up the church. So friends, is this gift for today? Yes. Are we pursuing it? Are we eagerly desiring it? Are we walking forward in obedience to what God has for us? Friends, on the journey, if some of you are like me, have come in from a cessationist camp and you're like, this makes me nervous, I don't know what to do with this. I've heard a term, a phrase I think's helpful called open but cautious. Like that step toward, I believe this, and you're like, I'm open but cautious. I'm open but cautious. And I think that's a good step. Cool, that might be your step today. But I would say you can't stay there. Because open but cautious and earnestly desiring aren't the same thing. You don't want to just indefinitely be like, yeah, I'm open. Yep, cautious but open. No, Scripture says, pursue love and earnestly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. So we've answered the question, has prophecy ceased today? No. Should we desire it? Yes. Last question, how does modern day prophecy work? I've got several sub-points. Modern-day prophecy should be orderly. It should be orderly. This is part of the abuses you often see in, like, the Pentecostal charismatic movement of disorderliness in the worship gathering that scares a lot of people. Look at 1 Corinthians 14:26. It speaks of the orderliness of this, of the worship gathering. What then, brothers, when you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Let all things be done for building up. If any speak in a tongue, let there be only two or at most three, and each in turn, and let someone interpret. But if there is no one to interpret, let each of them keep silent in the church and speak to himself and to God. Let two or three prophets speak, and let the others weigh what is said. If revelation is made to another sitting there, let the first be silent. For you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all be encouraged. And the spirits of prophets are subject to the prophets, for God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. So Paul speaks about the worship gatherings of the Corinthian church. He speaks about an orderliness. This isn't supposed to be confusing. This is supposed to be peaceful, representing the orderliness of God. And Paul's correcting the chaotic use of tongues in the Corinthian church. We're going to learn more about tongues next week. He's emphasizing being articulate and intelligible in the use of prophecy. This gift of prophecy is mysterious, but is not mystical. It's mysterious, but it's not mystical. We have a ministry mic right here that we use. I'll talk about it a little more in a second, but I remember being at another church and being the pastor who was kind of manning the mic on the mic. So I was on the mic, and so someone came, and one of the things I had to encourage this brother in Christ is he changed his voice when he was given a prophetic word. So we're talking, he's sharing a scripture, whatever. It was good. But then he got up on the microphone. And I'm like, whoa, no. Like, this isn't some mystical thing. I've also had people that I've had to bring some correction to, and they get all whispery. It's like it's from the Spirit. And all of a sudden, you just don't want to do that. It's mysterious enough, but it's not mystical. We're not playing games here. This isn't some sort of bait and switch kind of thing. Like, we want to honor God. Use the voice God gave you. If God has put something on your heart, let's share it with our heart. That doesn't mean there might not be emotion or something like that in how you speak, but just let's speak according to what God has given. Let's not try to manipulate it all. We must note this use of prophecy is for believers and even for unbelievers. In 1 Corinthians 12, earlier up, it talks about how, in 1 Corinthians 14, about how prophecy is actually a sign for believers, in unbelievers will come in, hear a prophecy, and say, whoa, you know all this stuff going on in my heart. And they will say, surely God is among you. So it's kind of like the sign for both, but Paul says it's a sign for believers to be like, hey, God's among you, and he's among you so much that the deep recesses of the hearts of unbelievers are going to be exposed. So sometimes I've heard people say, this is like the gift of prophecy is people reading your mail. They're like, how did you know that? Well, I don't even know you, but we're just praying and prompting of the Holy Spirit working. Now let's look at the... second subpoint than the definition. Second subpoint is this. Modern day prophecy is not equal to Scripture. Modern day prophecy is not equal to Scripture. Verse 29 says that two or three prophets will speak and the other will weigh what is said. The Greek actually makes that stronger. It's not just weigh what is said. The original language says pass judgment on what is said. Like, this is a big deal. And here's the thing you need to know. No one's passing judgment on Elijah. Like, you pass judgment on Elijah, fire comes down. Like, that's what happens with Elijah. So we're not talking about Old Testament prophecy and New Testament prophecy in the same way. Again, John Piper's definition is helpful. New Testament prophecy is Spirit-prompted, revelation-rooted, fallible speech. The Spirit prompts. It's guarded by God's Word. It's revelation rooted in God's word, but it's fallible speech. The Bible has the authority, not the person with the modern day prophetic word. It is to be judged by Scripture. 1 Corinthians 13 says that modern day prophecy sees in part. You're seeing in part. And that's experientially what I've seen. If someone has a sense, they're like, I think this might be what the Lord's saying, and we're just like praying, but we're also realizing you might get it wrong. We're not stoning you for being a heretic. We're saying this is what Scripture says. We're supposed to judge this. We're supposed to judge whether this is from the Lord or not. I encourage people to as they think about modern day prophecy, if they have a prophetic sense, to say things like, I believe the Lord might be saying, or something like that, where it's not just, thus saith the Lord. I'd really guard from that phrase. But we want to say, hey, I think the Lord put this verse on my heart for you. And like, does that resonate with you as I'm sharing that? And they're like, oh yeah, or no, it really doesn't. Okay, cool. I missed this one. That's cool. So here's the thing. The key to modern day prophecy is humility. We've got to be humble. Like, this is an act of humility. For those who have the gift of prophecy, you will at times get it wrong. And that person is to be like, yeah, I'm not sure that's for me. Okay, cool. This is about God. This is not about me. That's a huge part of modern day prophecy. Also, I just encourage you, if you have a sense for someone and it is odd, like it's like, I don't, that's kind of weird, or it's corrective, you need to get other people involved. What I mean by that is, like, if I have something that I feel like God's put in my heart and it's kind of odd or it's corrective of someone, I'm going to get one of the other elders or maybe my wife And I'm going to get their perspective on that and to pray about that with me. Because I, like, if this could be corrective and I'm wrong, I want to be really cautious. So we want to steward this well. So just to let you know, the elder team would love to talk through this with you. That's one of the reasons we have a ministry mic and a pastor on there. We would rather bring help on the front end rather than on the back end. That's usually helpful in biblical wisdom and walking out prophecy. So we want to give it humbly, but friends, here's the other thing. We want to receive it humbly. It took some courage for that person to bring that to you. They hopefully is just, they're trying to pursue love. They're trying to love you with this. So we don't want to get offended if someone's bringing me something. We just want to say, thanks. Like, yeah, that was really helpful. Or no, that wasn't as helpful, but I'll pray on it, you know, or I'll talk to my spouse or my roommate or the pastor. Is like, I want to honor the Lord with this. And so it's a culture of humility that is taken here. So at a worship gathering, if something is shared publicly from the ministry mic, we want to have a heart to, Lord, is this from you? Is this for me? And if you're like, I don't think that's for me, pray for whoever it might be for in the room. And we, on a pretty consistent basis, we have a sense of, hey, we're supposed to pray for somebody here. And there may be one hand that goes up. There may be 15 hands that go up. We don't assume every prophetic sense is for everybody. But we're like, Lord, we want to honor you. We're walking out, and here's the hard thing. We're walking out some things with subjectivity. That's really hard for us. But you've got to walk that out in as much biblical objectivity as possible. And here's a great passage to memorize if you're thinking through this. 1 Thessalonians 5:19-21. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. That's a great grid to think through this. So I don't want to despise this, Lord, but I got to test it too. So maybe you're one who, or you're just tempted to accept everything. Oh, that's for me. That one, all of them are for me. That's you. No. Test. But if you're one of those people like, nothing is ever for me, like, you might be despising this gift. So let's honor God in how we think through the gift of prophecy. And the third one is modern day prophecy can be shared corporately or individually. Like I mentioned, we have the ministry mic for Sunday mornings. If someone has a sense, if you have a sense as you're in your devotion time or some day in the week or as we're singing or whatever of like, hey, I think there might be something God's put on my heart. There's a pastor in training at the microphone. We would love to dialogue with you about like, what do you have? And we have a conversation and we're praying. These guys have gift of leadership. They're trying to steward you and the gifts you have. And we may have a prayer time. We may say, no, it's not for today. And just to let you know, if you get turned away at the ministry mic, you are not a heretic. Okay? So don't look at someone turned away and be like, oh, the walk of shame. Like, they're done. Yeah. I've had that walk of shame many times. It's not a walk of shame. It's like, Lord, is this for today? They may say, no, I don't think so. And so you're like, cool, I just want to honor God. I just want to submit to him this thing that I put on my heart. And just to let you know, as the lead pastor here, I want to submit when I feel a sense of something. I've submitted it last week. Josh was down here. I had a sense of something. And I just went to Josh. I was like, what do you think? And it was kind of cool because he actually had more faith for it than I did. And I was like, it helped me. Him helping me was like, okay, all right, cool. And so it was like, I'm going to submit this to the person there and see what kind of wisdom they have and go forward from there. So the key, again, to the spiritual gift is humility. Humility. Friends, humility. Humility. This is to honor Christ. This is to glorify God. When we think about the gift of the Spirit, any of the gifts of the Spirit, we submit them to the Lord. So these can be used corporately. They may be individually, one-on-one. You're like praying for someone afterwards or you're at community group or something like that. There's opportunities to say, Lord, use me however you want to use me. And that's really what 1 Corinthians 14:1 seems to be getting at when it says earnestly desire. Earnestly desire that God wants to use you, friend. God wants to use you in the lives of your brothers and sisters in Christ. So we can summarize this passage, this teaching this way. The gift of prophecy should be desired eagerly and practiced orderly by believers. Desired eagerly and practiced orderly. So as we close today, for some of us, we come from a background that we just need to think through the orderliness of this. Like this gift, as I use it, as I think about it, needs an orderliness. But for the vast majority of us in this church, and I'm not speaking to all churches everywhere, there's some churches, if I'm speaking it, I'm hammering the orderliness. Like, you don't use it orderly. Like, we got to think through this. But for our church, for Risen Hope Church, I'm not worried as much about the orderliness of this. We are orderly people. We struggle more with earnestness, like earnestly desiring. Friends, we need to earnestly desire what the Lord says to earnestly desire. And so if you've never prayed for the gift, I'd encourage you to pray for the gift of prophecy, that God may grant that to you. If you like have a sense of something that makes you nervous, man, we would love as elders to dialogue with you about it, to care for you, to love you through it. And friends, if you have something that you feel like God's put on your heart and you're like, this is weird, we would love to talk, to pray and see what God has. Friends, we know this is foreign soil and different aspects of the pendulum for different people. Next week, we're going to be doing Gift of Tongues. And what we're going to do is we're going to have a Q&A with the elders right afterwards. So we'll finish the message and then we'll actually have a panel and do some Q&A, some open mic of questions. So if you have questions about the gift of prophecy, I'd encourage you to write them down now. You can email me or text me those questions. We'll try to get some of those next week, as well as for tongues, as we talk about that next week. But right now, we're just going to spend time praying. So let's stand together. We're going to pray. We're going to end the live stream, and then we're going to open up the ministry mic and see if the Lord wants to speak through that and what we want to do today. So Christopher, if you'll come, we're going to pray. Father, I pray that you would, Lord, help those who are scared. Lord, help those who are guarded. Help those who don't know what to do with passages like this. And this last 35, 40 minutes has just been uncomfortable. Lord, help those who, there's just been pride. Lord, and you just want to humble us. Lord, we think more about our gift than our Savior. Lord, forgive us for that. God, I pray that we would be as biblical as possible. God, that we would honor you. Lord, that we would, as the Spirit prompts, that we would walk forward toward that prompting and not step back when you prompt. Lord, that we would be revelation rooted, that we would be rooted in the Scripture so we would know your word. And Lord, that it wouldn't scare us, that this is fallible, that it's to be weighed, it's to be judged. But Lord, we would walk forward in our confidence. Our identity is not in getting it right. Our identity is in Christ. And Lord, we want to be used by you. So we pray for your Spirit to work now, Lord. We pray that your Spirit would work. And Lord, that even now, as a church, we would pursue love. And in pursuing loving God and loving others, we would earnestly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially that we may prophesy. Lord, so if you want, Lord, to give a prophetic sense to anyone and for us to share and be encouraged and consoled or whatever it is, Lord, we want to be open to that. And if not, Lord, we want to walk away being faithful believers and trusting you. In Jesus' name, amen.